RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott the Butler, here on RTE Pulse. Now, of course, we're only days away from the highlight of the Dublin Pride Festival. It is, of course, the festival parade on Saturday. And who is going to be Grand Marshal? None other than Colm O'Gorman, Executive Director of Amnesty International Ireland. And I'm delighted to have him on the phone at the moment. Colm, you're very welcome along to the show.
Thanks, Scott. Delighted to be with you.
So let's get into, I guess there's a personal side that I can imagine you'll be interested in and happy to be taking part in Dublin Pride, and also a professional side. Let's have a look at the personal first. You know, to you personally, what does this mean to you that you are going to be headlining the parade on Saturday in Dublin?
Well, it's obviously a real honour to be asked. I have to say I'm a little bit mortified.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm really chuffed and genuinely really, really honoured and touched to be asked to it. But a bit of me is as I said, rather mortified. The idea of leading out a parade like this seems like such a bizarre thing for me to be doing. But I completely understand both the reason why Pride asked me to do it, and actually, for me personally, I just feel very strongly about the importance of Pride this year above all years, I suppose, in some ways, but also of pride as a show of exactly that, pride and solidarity with people in other countries where, quite frankly, prides can never happen because they don't have the kind of freedom that we've managed to secure in Ireland over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I guess that was actually something that I was talking about last week with Jason Flynn, chairperson of Dublin Pride this year, is that this year's festival seems to be just slightly more important in terms of, or in comparison with recent years as well, because we're so close to not only the marriage equality referendum, but also in terms of family legislation. You know, where does Amnesty fall into place with that? I can assume that, you know, your experience with this is very much a mixture of professional and personal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, I'm a man married to a man, and we're dads. We've two kids, so we're very lucky to live in a country where, certainly at the level of the everyday, we have the freedom to be who we are, where we feel like our family is respected, where we're valued on an equal level with other families. But sadly, the reality is, as we all know only too well, we're certainly not equal before the law. Mm. So there are big questions here in Ireland about equality, legal protection, and legal recognition for couples in long-term relationships, and most importantly for children who are being parented by same-sex couples. But, you know, at the professional level, I mean, first of all, Amnesty International has now for many years called on states globally and to end discrimination in civil marriage laws and to recognise families of choice, including across international borders. And that's been our call for many years now. And the reason why we do that is because where you embed discrimination in law in relation to an issue like marriage equality or family recognition and family security, that's a significant issue for those individuals. But it's also, quite frankly, one end of a whole range of discriminatory laws and practices that really manifest in gratuitous prejudice, discrimination and persecution of LGBTI people around the world. You can't discriminate in law, for instance, against LGBTI people in Ireland, and then as a state stand up and challenge states who persecute mercilessly LGBT people in other parts of the world. Equality is equality, and that has to be reflected across the whole spread of the ways in which states behave. And, you know, beyond marriage equality is one of the key issues, and family protection issues is one of the big issues. The other area really where we've a lot to win still is in the area of legal gender recognition for transgendered people.
Of course, yeah.
We've been promised legislation now, and it's advanced and it's being drafted, and things are moving in a reasonably positive way. But these are two of the big freedoms that we still need to win in Ireland. And freedom, as you know, is the theme of this year's Pride. And we need to celebrate the freedoms that we've secured so far, celebrate the freedoms that we enjoy by nature of our simple humanity, you know, as LGBTI people in Ireland, but also work towards the ones that we still have to secure in marriage equality, family protection, and crucially, legal gender recognition for transgender people in Ireland. Those are freedoms we have to secure, whilst at the same time, we stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world, in Russia, in Iran, in Uganda, in Nigeria, in countries where LGBTI people face appalling state persecution and violence.
Mm. And Colm, in terms of standing in solidarity with, you know, the international community in terms of LGBT rights and I guess human rights on a broader scale as well, you know, we talk a lot about the progress that Ireland has made, you know, in terms of gay rights in this country in the last maybe 20, 30, even 40 years. On a international level, you know, how much can Ireland be, or how much is Ireland an example for other countries in terms of human rights developments and so on?
Apologies, you just heard my dog scream as somebody walked in the door, so apologies to you and listeners for that.
That's okay.
We've a way to go in some regards. I mean, first of all, the fact that tens of thousands of people, and they won't all be LGBTI people, will be marching and celebrating difference and diversity and love and solidarity and friendship and family on Saturday is an indication of how far we've come. But in some ways, we've a long way to go. I mean, you know, many of our fellow European states, for instance, have introduced marriage equality. We're one of the few states in Europe. We have no legislation on legal gender recognition for transgender people at all. Mm. We're decades behind other states. Now, we have an opportunity to introduce really progressive, forward-looking legislation, and I hope our government does this. We have concerns in some areas. So, we do well in some. We've good, strong anti-equality provisions. I think one of the crucial things that we should celebrate, whatever about the level of discrimination that exists in law still, and we still have to challenge that wherever we can, is the level of not just social acceptance, but, you know, normal celebration of lots of the reality of our lives. And I don't mean, over the top kind of stuff. I mean the fact that, for instance, you know, I'm a man married to a man living in rural North County Wexford, and we've two kids, and they go to the local school here in Goree, where I live, where I'm speaking to you from now. Mm. And never once in their experience of school, and they're now, you know, our eldest is 17, our daughter is 15, so they're well into their secondary school education. Mm. Never once have they had a negative comment, a negative experience on the basis of their family makeup, on the basis of the fact that they've got two dads and their parents by a same-sex couple. Mm. I think that's something to celebrate. Now, I know it's not the experience for everybody, and I know there's still many ways in which, as LGBTI people in Ireland, people experience significant discrimination and even sometimes violence. But we should also celebrate our successes, the freedoms we've won, and then, as I said, you know, the theme of Pride this year, let's celebrate the freedoms we secured and redouble our efforts to secure the full range of freedoms that we expect as human beings.
Very, very well said. Well, I guess on a slightly, celebratory note, what is the highlight so far, or indeed the highlight that you're looking forward to, apart from the parade itself, in terms of this year's festival, what's one thing that really stood out to you or is hopefully going to stand out for you?
Well, last night, obviously, I'm really looking forward to the parade, beyond the mortification. I'm sure I'll get over that really, really quickly. Paul, my partner, my husband, we got married a few years ago. We're together for, 14, nearly 15 years now, but we got married a couple of years ago in New York. And both Paul and our kids, Sean and Sophia, are going to be up there with me at the front of the parade. So that'll be great.
Brilliant.
And you know, from our perspective, I mean, the reason why we're happy to do that is because we understand the symbolic importance of recognizing who we are, the full range of our humanity, and being able to celebrate that. So that's something I'm really looking forward to. But last night I got to go along to the launch of an amazing Belong To exhibition. And I know, I think you're covering this later on in the show as well.
Indeed.
This was the Belong To, the handover of the Belong To photo archive to the National Photographic Archive. And that's showing in Temple Bar and in the National Photographic Archive there. It's an amazing show. I mean, to go along and to see these incredible shots that document 11 years of this extraordinary organization's work, but also to see really moving, compelling video of their work with LGBTI asylum seekers in Ireland, and recognizing just the level of persecution that people face in other parts of the world, the crucial importance of Ireland being a place that gives protection to people who are fleeing persecution, including LGBTI people. That was really, really powerful. Last night was amazing.
Nice. Well, we're going to be finding out a lot more about that thanks to Jenny Butler's reports later on the show. In the meantime, Colm O'Gorman, thank you so much for coming on to the show tonight. Hopefully you'll get past the mortification on Saturday and you'll be enjoying it with the family, and hopefully see you later on during this year's Dublin Pride.
Thanks a million, Scott. I'm sure we're going to have a great time. I'm just being a bit silly about the whole thing. I'll get over that within 5 minutes as we all start.
You'll be grand. Don't worry. Talk to you soon,
thanks,
Colin.
Scott. Take care. Bye.
Online, on DAB, on Fairview, and on UPC. Channel 943. This is
RTE Pulse. RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
You are listening to The Cosmo on RTE Pulse. It's Jenny Butler and I'm at the National Photographic Archive in Meeting House Square in Temple Bar to speak to Kevin Gaffney. He's curating an exhibition called Belonging, Irish Queer Youth, which is part of the Irish Queer Archive and chronicles a little bit of the history of Belong To, which of course is Ireland's youth group for LGBTQ youth. And for more information you can check out www.belongto.org. How have things been going in terms of getting this exhibition ready for the public?
We began working on this in March 2013 and I was basically artist in residence in Belong To. So I started compiling the archive, trying to make the archive, I guess, accessible to people. We started talking with the National Library of Ireland, which the National Photographic Archive is part of. So it's been a long process to get to this point. And out of that, the exhibition happened as quite a, I guess, natural progression of a way to introduce the archive to the public, to people who want to see it. After this exhibition's finished, we'll donate the archive to them and it'll be accessible in the National Library. So it's like preserving their work, like Belong To's work for future generations. It'll actually sit alongside the Irish Queer Archives, which is nice.
In terms of getting the actual photographs ready and printed and to be actually exhibited so that you could clearly see the images, how difficult was that to get those?
Well, there was a lot of scanning of old negatives. There was a lot of raiding people's attics. There was a lot of everyone rooting through their old computers. And a lot of photos came from disposable cameras that we'd buy in like the pound shop at the time. I think it was still pounds. I'm not sure. And obviously then there's like different photos that were taken by the Irish Times, like journalists. There was photos taken by press. So there's like a huge range of like different qualities, but also different sources. There was over 1,000 photos to select from. And because Belong To do so many different work, like as we know, we like went to the youth group and that's the sort of center that everything else revolves around. But what revolves around that is advocacy campaigns, like anti-homophobic and transphobic bullying in schools. So the process was to, I guess, whittle down from the 1,000 photos to make a succinct story that people could engage with and they could like engage with the people in the photographs as well. And a nice part was obviously getting in touch with everybody in the photos. We had to get consent for over 100 people. And also everyone getting in touch about what they're doing now is a nice way of how we can use our skills to like further ourselves together. Actually, we got sponsorship from the Copper House, which is a gallery and printers. They've been amazing in helping us. They knew that all the sources were extremely varied. And the graphic designer, Pradeep, who did all the designs, he helped me prep the files for print. So it was this big, huge teamwork. And everyone really just wanted it to look as good as possible. And they did a great job in helping us. Like, I didn't do that by myself. That was extremely technical. So I had the ideas and they helped me make it happen, I guess.
And there are also video installations as part of this exhibition. It's not all photography. Can you tell us maybe a little bit about the content in those installations?
The first is the really quite famous stand-up campaign, which has been watched like 1.5 million times online. So that was a sort of celebratory moment. And it explores like the story of two boys in school kind of being the victims of homophobic bullying and the school standing up with them. So that's quite a like a positive video. And then on the same TV there's a film called 10 Years of Belonging, and that basically goes through the story of Belong To. And it's a nice way for people to kind of follow people speaking. There's different members of Belong To speaking, there's different politicians speaking about it. That makes it sound very serious, but it's quite a nice touching film. And then the film we're sitting in front of right now, which is I think my favorite, is called Seeking Sanctuary. It's about LGBT asylum seekers and refugees coming to Ireland and their experiences kind of fleeing persecution, fleeing some horrific and violent experiences at home. And I think it's a very powerful film that shows how much work still has to be done, and they're obviously an extremely vulnerable part of society. So where I've placed them is kind of in the context of portraits, so showing the difference between how much LGBT youth in Ireland has become confident and then that there's still a lot to be done.
How important do you feel it is for people to have access to these archives and to be able to walk in and see them free of charge during Pride Week?
I feel like it's a really important part of Pride, because obviously the parade is an amazing political moment and it's also a very celebratory moment. But I guess the exhibition's a much quieter way of reflecting on what's happened over the past 10 and 11 years. I feel like it's an important way as well for parents and family members to engage in a national institution and realize like that their kids are not so strange that they fit in. And we, like LGBT youth, queer youth, were part of the national, we're not just part of the National Archive, but we're part of national dialogue. And that's really the main reason for doing this exhibition. And that's what we hope to achieve, is to, like, we're in this, basically the heart of Temple Bar, which we get a huge amount of tourists coming by. And I also think it's amazing that all the tourists that visit will take this from Ireland, that they'll take this idea of an amazing, like, inclusive society. And even though maybe we're not always there yet, it's nice that this is creating a lot of discussion. And I think that discussion is really important to have.
And finally, you are an accomplished artist in your own right. What's next for you then as an artist as well, after you've finished curating this exhibition for Belong To? Where are you off to?
After this, I'm going to Japan in a month to Sapporo to make a film. And I've also, there's another exhibition opening there of older work. And then after that, I come back for a month, and then I go to Korea for a residency in the National Art Studio in Seoul. So I'm starting researching that now. And I have to start making the film for Japan pretty much tomorrow. So there's not been much time to sort of land on your feet, but it's exciting.
It's been fantastic catching up with you again, Kevin, and best of luck with everything that you do. We were not quite the founding year of Belong To, but we were there quite early on. And just to say again, thank you to everybody who has made this a reality. It is a fantastic exhibition. It is running at the National Photographic Archive in Meeting House Square in Temple Bar from the 21st of June, which has obviously just passed, to the 27th of July. So you have plenty of time to check this out. It's open Monday to Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday 12 noon to 5 p.m. and entrance is free. Again, that's Belonging Irish Queer Youth at the National Photographic Archive. For the Cosmo on RTE Pulse, I'm Jenny Butler.
RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.